listeners, welcome to the Women Governance Trailblazers podcast, where we listen to the journeys of trailblazing women in the corporate governance field, their passions, struggles, and commitment to improving how companies and boards function. My name is Courtney Camlett, and my co-host, my amazing co-host, is Liz Dunshee.
Hi, everyone.
We are back from summer vacation. Liz and I are both passionate about governance, and we want to spotlight some of the trailblazing women who share that passion. We love connecting with guests from different paths and industries to hear their perspectives on what surprised them in their career and where they think the field of corporate governance is going. We are very happy to be back from our summer hiatus and to kick off our new season. We are excited to be talking with Dr. Julie Williamson. Julie is a CEO of Karakens Group, which is a global consulting firm focused on leadership alignment and transformation. And she is a skilled business strategist, speaker, and author. Julie also holds her PhD in organizational communication. She combines her understanding of behavioral science with executive experience and business acumen to help leadership teams excel. Julie, we are thrilled to get to speak with you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are starting off this season with a bang, so we're so excited to have you. Could you share a little bit more about your journey to becoming the CEO of Karakens Group? What's happened along the way? Have there been any surprises? And then also why you decided to get your PhD in organizational communication?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that I would just say is that very few people really know what they want to do in their 20s, and I fall into that category as well. And I started out my career with a large systems integrator doing a lot of technology work in the 90s. That was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot about how communication technologies in particular were developing. I was in the mobile phone industry for a little over a decade. And it was really just a fascinating learning experience. And so if any of your listeners are in that demographic, you're in your 20s, early 30s, trying to figure it out, I would just say, don't worry if you don't have it figured out. You'll find your way forward and take the opportunities that come. From there, I went to a more boutique consultancy that was focused on organizational change and strategy work. And that became really foundational for my understanding of the broader business environment and how we really think about strategy and corporate strategy. In between those two careers, they really were very different careers. I had this epiphany, which was I knew a lot about business and I knew a lot about technology, but I did not know a lot about how people worked together as a team. And I realized that more business education wasn't going to get me there. So I had my MBA, and I was really grateful for that. I was using what I learned in that program quite a bit in my work, but it was not answering the questions of why is it that people can know that something is a really good idea, they can be sure that it's the right direction for their company, and they can absolutely not do it. And so that brought me into a social science, and organizational communication was sort of the natural path forward for that. So I was what was considered a non-traditional student. I went back to get my PhD in my late 30s, early 40s. And I'm really grateful that that was my path because I could take all of my experiences of watching people struggle in this space. And then as I leaned into learning more about the theory, the social science theory behind how all of us interact from a communication perspective, to then move into what I consider my third career. And that is really focusing on what is now part of our work at Karakens Group in making how matter. We believe that how you lead matters. And so the combination of a lot of business expertise together with the social science lens has really helped us to develop the work that we do here. And so that's what's led me into being the CEO of Karakens Group.
I will say communications is such a critical skill, and it's really not that easy. It's something that a lot of people have to work with.
You know, Courtney, I couldn't agree with you more. People like to talk about soft and hard skills. And I just think to myself, I don't know what you think is so soft and easy about communication because most people really struggle with it.
I mean, you wrote an entire book, which you talked about, Make How Matter, Key Conversations for Leaders to Build Alignment and Accelerate Growth. Why is it so important for leaders to take the time and effort to build alignment across teams? And what have you seen as some of the biggest challenges to building alignment?
Yeah, I think in terms of why we wrote the book and why we think it's so important, in part it's because over the last, let's call it 20 years or so, many companies have put a lot of money, resources, time, energy, leadership focus into getting clarity around what they do. So they're pretty good at strategy work, planning, big transformation offices, all of these things. They get really clear on what to do. They've also, in recent years, thanks in large part to people like Simon Sinek and others, they've really leaned into the why. So, what's our mission, vision, values? Put a lot of time and energy and money into that as well. You need to know those things. You should know what you're doing and why. At Karakens Group, we really believe that you need to put equal resources towards understanding how to lead it together. Because if you aren't leading as a leadership team, you will sub-optimize your results from what you're trying to do, and you will fall short of your aspirations in terms of why you want to do it. And so the book helps you think about what are the conversations we should be having as a leadership team to make sure that we're bringing our what and our why to life. And we think that missing piece of how you lead together just unlocks so much potential for organizations when leaders really step up to that and do that hard work of figuring out, how are we going to lead this together?
I've learned a lot just listening to your podcast from the Karakens Group, talking to other leaders and how they've changed based on discussions.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think one of the things that we see at a board level, by the way, with this work, is that I like to say transformations fail while leaders are busy doing other more important things.
Yeah,
Right.
I
So leaders are
like
off.
that.
They're very focused on their own results. And because they haven't figured out how, as a leadership team, they're leading together, the big transformation that's been promised to the board, or that the board is saying, hey, this is what we need to see, it stumbles because the leaders are off doing other things. And so a board, I think, can really bring this to the front around, how are you aligning as a leadership team to get this done? How are you going to make the hard decisions? How are you going to talk with us as a board about what's happening? And they can, kind of make some of that visible in ways that leadership teams can skirt around a little bit sometimes, not intentionally, not with malintent, but just because they're very busy delivering on the results of the day.
Yeah, sometimes it helps to have somebody directly ask you the question that maybe you haven't fully considered. So I can see how the board's leadership on that front can help drive the change. Have you seen any practices that executives apply that are particularly effective when they're building alignment?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we really lean into with the teams that we work with is the importance of making the invisible visible. So we talk about the challenge, for example, of trade-offs. So everybody knows, like, what's the biggest trade-off leaders have to make? And the board is always asking them to make this trade-off. It's between short-term results and long-term investments. Right. So we know in 3 years we need to be in a different place, but hey, we got to make our quarterly numbers today. Right? It's a huge trade-off. But very rarely do executive teams have very clear and honest and transparent discussions that we need to do this long-term investment, but we're going to choose today to do something else because we need to make our quarterly numbers. I'm just using this as a very simple example, right? But the clarity around what that trade-off is and when you make it and what the implications are of it often get swept under the rug a little bit. They're just avoided, they're not stated, they're not really authentically grappled with, because that can be a very hard conversation. It can be a hard conversation to have with the board. It can be a hard conversation to have with colleagues. It can be a hard conversation because you might have to disappoint a business leader who's focused on that longer term investment, right? So there's lots of people things that get in the way of effectively making that trade-off. That's where we see things really start to get gummed up.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I imagine that culture also plays a role in that. And so, what practices do you see around creating a strong culture to be able to support those uncomfortable conversations and decisions? And how does the organization's governance at the very top level play into that culture as well.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you're looking at those top levels of an organization, and we have the great privilege of being able to work with all the senior level teams of a lot of publicly traded companies and some very large ones. And so we see that interaction happen a lot between the board and the executive team. And I do think that culture plays a role in how that interaction happens. And the board can play a role in shaping it to be as productive as possible by how they ask questions, by how the board shows up as an aligned team itself. Boards, by the way, are often not very well aligned. They're made up of, I'm going to say random people, even though it's not random, right? But they're made up of all these different people
We get
with
the
very
gist of
different,
what you're saying.
right? Like it's a group of people. They get together a couple times a year. And after COVID, a lot of them now do a lot of virtual stuff. They're not even seeing each other in person all that often. And they're trying to make really big and important decisions together. So the culture of the board actually has a huge influence over how well aligned the company is to the goals that have been set out and to what they want to do and why they want to do it. But I think that, I'm sorry, I got off track with your original question, which was what role does culture play? I think we see, for example, a command and control culture has a very specific way of handling how you lead together and what the expectations are. More of a collaborative culture lends itself to other types of decision-making processes. And sometimes those are effective and sometimes they're not. And so the ability to step back and look at those through a critical lens and say, is the culture supporting the kind of decision making that we need to have to deliver on what we say we're going to do and why we want to do it. That investigation by the executive team and sometimes with the support of the board can uncover an amazing amount of potential in the organization that requires some shifts in the culture.
Now, I love Kerrigan's motto that you espouse, which is to go fast, go alone, go far, go together, to go far fast, get aligned. And when you're thinking about shifting company culture, is that something that you work with the executive teams on trying to get them aligned so that moving forward, the culture is more adhesive?
Yeah, Courtney, that's such a great question around how culture intersects with that. The idea of going far fast, it's so interesting to me. Everybody wants things to be catalytic, right? Like we're just going to get together in a one day offsite and we're going to solve this culture problem, right? Or we're going to solve this leadership problem, or we're going to, decide how we're going to work differently together, and then we're going to just go do it, right? It just doesn't happen. Change does not happen catalytically. It true. I mean, I guess, on occasion somebody gets hit by lightning and they wake up a different person. But in general, the human experience is not geared on catalytic change. It's geared on doing small things consistently over time in different ways. And so the work that we do with teams to help them to reshape their culture in different ways, we talk about nudges, not shoves. You just have to keep nudging in new directions. And what are the ways that you're going to do that? And how very specifically are you, as executives, as senior leaders in the organization, going to be changing your own behavior so that you create that ripple effect throughout the organization? Because in all honesty, I am always saying to senior leaders, nothing changes until someone changes, and that someone is probably you. And they don't love that all the time because, let's face it, leaders love to change other people, but they do not love to change themselves. Right? I think we're all that way, right?
Yeah,
But that's what,
self-introspection is hard.
yeah, it takes really stepping up to the plate and saying, how do I need to lead differently if those are the results that I want to get? It's not about what other people do, it's about what I do. And then it's about what we do as a team, as a leadership team. So as an executive team, how are we going to lead differently so that the organization sees us as an aligned group of leaders who are taking this organization in a particular direction? When you get a senior leadership team that can radiate that kind of energy, the impact that it has on the organization is unbelievable.
Right. So speaking of going far fast and radiating energy, in addition to being a CEO, author, and podcaster, you are also an Ironman triathlete, which is massive.
I am.
What motivated you to want to be an Ironman triathlete?
Yeah, you know, Courtney, people ask me that question sometimes, and I think I just don't know. I think I just like to do hard things. I genuinely like to challenge myself to do hard things. And I appreciate that you use the term athlete and not competitor, because I am definitely in the participant category, right? I participate in events. I don't compete in races, is probably a way to think about it. So for me, I was really inspired to think about attempting an Ironman and then actually doing a few of them over time, because it just gives you that opportunity to really push yourself and test your limits physically, mentally, and emotionally. And for me, I find that really intriguing.
It fits in so well to what you're saying about a nudge, not a shove, because like you also don't go from sitting on your couch to running an Ironman in one day. And so, you have to do those things individually that you're talking about doing at the leadership level across the board to be able to motivate yourself in the athletic realm, but also, in your organization.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, Liz. Like, you want to do an Ironman? Start by running a mile.
I
Right?
had a
Like, you just
front
got
row
to get
seat
started.
this summer to watch one of the Ironmen as I was eating breakfast, and I could see the swimming, I could see the runners, and I was right where they got the bikes in and out, and so
Wow.
it was a really interesting experience.
My main goal in any triathlon that I do, but especially in Ironman, my first goal is just don't drown.
That's a great goal. I fully support that one.
I feel like that's a good goal. Like, if I can get out of
Yes.
the water under my own power, I figure it's been a good day.
Absolutely. Well, that's why they have the swimming first.
Yeah, exactly. It is, actually.
So, what advice do you have for the next generation of women governance trailblazers?
I think that for women who are aspiring to be on boards or to have that kind of presence in organizations, there are a couple of things that I would suggest. One is get as many experiences as you can over the course of your career. So, be willing to go spend some time in different functional areas or in different parts of the business or in different geographies so that you have that broader context for what it really takes to be successful across the whole organization. I think that for me has been incredibly beneficial. As a lifetime consultant, I've been in the industry over 30 years. It has been an accumulation of experiences that have helped me to do my best work. It hasn't been being a deep expert in just one area over 30 years. I have deep expertise in a lot of areas because I spent years in them. But if I had stayed just in one silo, then I wouldn't be able to understand the full context when it comes to talking about strategy, when it comes to talking about long-term planning, or helping to make big decisions around investments for organizations. So collections of experiences, I would say, is a top thing to think about.
I think that's excellent advice because you've had some very technical experiences, but you also had some very soft skills that it's not like formulaic that you can say, here's my suggestion, do X, Y, and Z, and then you get to triple I.
That's right. I think
Yeah.
that's exactly right. And
And
probably for the two of you as well, right? It's been, as you reflect back, what are all of those experiences that accumulate into your ability to be in the rooms that you want to be in?
yeah, and it sounds too like you yourself and probably the teams that you're working with just have a growth mindset as well. Like it was very brave of you to go and get another degree at the age that you were and pivot your career and everything. And so it sounds like that's been very important as well.
Yeah, I think maintaining that. I love Carol Dweck's work around growth mindset. And I didn't have that language when I was doing it back then, but it maps very well, I think, to what I would definitely consider to be a success practice is keep being willing to do hard things, keep finding ways to do hard things, because it's in the hard things that you learn and grow. It's not when things are easy, right? If you're just doing what
Yeah.
you're comfortable doing, you're not getting anywhere.
I constantly say to my team, get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's when you grow.
I love that, Courtney. I think that's great advice.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for being here today and talking with us. It was such a great conversation. And for those who are listening, we want to thank you as well. Please subscribe to Women Governance Trailblazers on your favorite podcast platform. And we would love if you would rate us while you're there. And in addition, if anyone out there knows a Women Governance Trailblazer who you think would be a great guest on the show, feel free to ping Courtney or me on either LinkedIn or by email.
Thank you.